It's a great day, isn't it? And what is today? 25th. February 25th. My Lord, winter's almost over. Praise God, huh? And then we'll be waiting for cooler weather and when the summer comes. And we're always looking for something. But no, I'm really truly grateful. I'm thankful, and it's a great day, and blessed you're all here. You know, I started a book. It's called In His Steps, and it's an old Christian classic. I don't know if any of you've ever read it or not, but mine's all yellow and stuff. It's been sitting on my shelf for years, and I've read it in the past, and I want to reread it. And I was thinking about, really, this teaching goes a lot along with the manifestations we just heard and really with the prayers that have been prayed. And it's in light of walking in His steps. You know, we want to walk like our Lord walked. And what happens in this book is this church gets confronted with all of a sudden there's an awakening of how they should live their lives, and they just basically ask, what would Jesus do? That's the whole big point of the book. And they struggled with it because they really didn't understand, you know, the parts that I've read so far. They struggled with it because, you know, a lot of life has got to do with, it's not written in Scripture. You know, what do I do at my job? What do I do here? What do I do there? But I want to make it super simple. And this teaching is really very simple. And I'm blessed to do a nice simple teaching. In 1 John chapter 2, but, you know, the title is Walking as He Walked. And in chapter 2 and in verse 6, it says, He that saith that he abide in him, talking about our Lord, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That is what we are called to do. That is what God said in the manifestations of the Spirit. That's what our desire, our prayer. We want to walk like he walked. So go to Romans 13. How do I walk like my Lord and Savior? Well, we have His Word. We have His example, right? In the Gospels. We also have the doctrine that's been given to us from our Lord in the church epistles. And when it comes to living our Christian life, I'm going to start reading here in verse 8. When it comes to living our Christian life, we want to walk in His steps. Now, again, He doesn't tell us, I mean, how I'm supposed to, what job I'm, or what career I'm supposed to have. He doesn't tell us whether to be married or not. You know, he didn't want any of that. You decide all those things. You pick your spouse. You pick your career. You pick, okay? I remember one couple, they thought, well, God's got us together. Yeah, well, I told them, nah, it ain't, you ain't blaming God on that. So we pick those things. But we can, and it's not written in the Scriptures, you know, who you should marry, except it tells you if you get married, marry a believer. But it doesn't pick who. It doesn't pick a lot of the details. And that's what the people in that book, in His steps, were struggling with, the details. So I want to go with the bigger picture. And it says here in Romans 13, in verse 8, it says, Owe no man anything, but to love one another. I'm not to owe anybody anything except I owe everyone love. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Talking about the law of Moses. And then it gives the example of this, and it gives a short rendition of the Ten Commandments. It says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the fulfillment of the law. You know, all of the Mosaic law was, you know, don't sin against God and men. It was given to us to show us how to love God and your neighbor as yourself. That is the big picture of the law of Moses. Then it says, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, the Mosaic law. You can't break God's word if you're walking in love. Go to Romans 8. It says it in a different way. It says in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in the Messiah Jesus, Christ Jesus. If you believe in him, I mean, we're taking this from the book of Romans, right? You have faith in the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. You realize from chapter 4 that it is by faith that God has chosen the method of salvation. He has told us in chapter 5 that Jesus Christ is the substitute and the sin offering because of the sin of mankind. That he's the one that's paid the price. Chapter 6, we're told that we have a choice now. We can walk. We can reckon the old man dead and be alive unto him. It's our choice. Chapter 7, we're freed from the law of Moses. Doesn't mean we don't obey it. We go beyond it. We walk in love. Chapter 8, therefore, if you've got the Messiah, you believe the gospel. There is no condemnation to those who are in this Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who paid for it all, the one who died for you. You're not condemned. You've been freed from Adam's sin. The law, you have believed the gospel of salvation. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, the old man nature, Adam's nature, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, the Mosaic law. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, it should be, if you read your center margin, for a sacrifice for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you walk after the Spirit of God, which is to obey his word, and to walk according to that new nature that you have, you've got God in Christ in you. You have his counsel. You have all of this within you. when you believe the gospel, you have the Spirit, you are freed. You're not condemned, you're free. And you got the ability to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law because of that Spirit, if you choose to walk by it. It's still your choice. It's not automatic. It's your choice. Romans chapter 5. You got the ability to walk in the Lord's steps because you can love like he loved. And you know what gave you that ability? Again, the new birth Spirit. It says in chapter 5, in verse 5, it says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us." You know, God Almighty has shed his love in our hearts by that Holy Spirit that he gave to us. That Spirit gives you the ability. That Spirit is to walk in that new nature, to walk in his steps. Christ obeyed everything God said, so we obey his word. We don't break it. We obey it. In fact, we go beyond it. You know? No adultery. You know, lying. You know, we keep God first in our heart, first in our life. This is what it means to walk by the Spirit. You know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. I mean, but God, men fell short at all these things because they didn't have the Spirit. They were still trying to do this by their flesh. Jesus Christ had to come because men could not fulfill the righteous requirements of the law without the Spirit of God, without being paid for by a Savior. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12 starts the practical side. And I want to keep it, like I said, this is all basic stuff. There's nothing, it's nothing intellectual about this. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to challenge yourself as we read this chapter. I want you to challenge yourself. I want you to pick and choose the things that you are going to deliberately, by your decision, you are going to deliberately practice and do. Maybe there are things that you're not so adept at, or that you feel like you could improve a lot. And maybe there's nothing wrong with improving even more on the things that you are adept at. But I want you to read this, and I want you to take it with you and maybe read this section of Scripture a couple of times or more this week and challenge yourself to walk like he walked. Because it tells us right here the purpose of our lives, which God said in the manifestations. And I keep bringing that back to you because you got to think about what he says in these manifestations that are brought to us. It's really a proof that God is here in this fellowship, because you get to hear an evidence of the Spirit from people who didn't put together the teaching, and then you get to hear the exact same thing within the teaching which he inspired. I mean, whether we got 5 people here or 25 or 105 or 100,000, is God involved in the thing? In chapter 12, it says, I beg you, I beseech you. This is a revelation given by the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. It comes from God to the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul, right? He says, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. The word reasonable is the word logizomai. We get the word logical from it. Our lives are to be a living, not a dead, a living sacrifice, holy. What does it mean to live a holy life? It means to do what God says and to walk by the Spirit. Do what His Word says, to walk by the Spirit. It's not some ceremony. So that's the goal. This is just logical after everything that God's given to us. It's just reasonable that we do this. Be not conformed. This is how not to do it. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is the key. This is where it's all up to you whether you choose to walk by the Spirit or whether you choose not to. And you can do this moment by moment, second by second, decision by decision. You can walk by the Spirit at this moment, and then you can check out and not walk by the Spirit after you take three steps. And then come back to walking by the Spirit. It's much better to be consistent. But we're people. It talks a practice. You deliberately decide to renew your mind, to new up your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants you to prove His word in your life. He wants you to prove that what He says to you, that if you do this, you see the benefit, you know it's true, you have deliberately decided to do it. He wants you to prove this word. For I say through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you, don't think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Three times the word think is used. What do you think? It's about thinking. How do you renew your mind? You think the way He tells you to think. Don't think above it. Don't be wobbly. Be sober. You know what sober is? Straight ahead. You can walk a line. Another way of thinking about sober, you've seen people who are drunk. They're all over the place, right? But another way of thinking soberly is, this is business. You're locked in. I am deliberately going to discipline myself to do this. That's another way of thinking about sober thinking, mature thinking. Not childlike, not foolish, sober. Do you see what I mean? I say through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you. That's every one of us. Check it out. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. What is it? According as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all the members have not the same office or function. Everybody, we got a lot of people here. We're all peculiar lead different people. And I'm not just talking about your education. I'm not talking about your professions. I'm talking about our character is different. Okay? Our backgrounds are different. And we have all those other differences. And you know what? This is a good thing. And yet at the same time, you know what the one thing is that puts us in a family? God, His Spirit, and the Word that we believe. And our deliberate decision to walk according to it. So we're not to think above, below. We're to think exactly what He says, according to the measure of faith. For as we have many members, not everybody's got the same job. So, we being many are one body in Christ, and every one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministering, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. We go from think, don't be conformed, molded, to this world, but think what God has told you to think. He has given you the measure of faith. You have that faith. You can think the way He says. You choose. And then after you choose to think, everybody's got a job here. Just get busy doing it. Now, there are people, and I'm just going to add this one thing here. There are people who think, well, this is just, if I'm not reading the Bible 10 hours a day and praying on my knees 5 hours more a day, I'm not doing the things of God. That's a lie. You got to make a living? Make a living. You are doing the will of the Lord when you work a secular job. You got responsibilities. I mean, it tells you these things very plainly and very matter of fact. You have a job to do in life. You got people to take care of, roof over your head, food on your table. Go do it. And do it like Jesus would. Honestly, lovingly, caringly. I mean, didn't Jesus make the fire and cook the fish for the guys? I mean, he didn't get breakfast if he didn't cook the fish. I'm being a little facetious here. But my point is, his father was a carpenter. He grew up as a kid. He worked in the shop. Then there was a period of time in his life where his business was doing his father's, well, I'd be about my father's business. But it is not ungodly to do the things that need to be done. Everybody doesn't need to teach. Because then where's the hearers? Everybody doesn't need to prophesy. But if it's time for you to serve and God puts it on your soul, that's why I say, anyone inspired to, then prophesy. When it's time to open your mouth and teach the word, it's time. When it's time to shut up and listen, listen. Everything's got a time. You know, it's like that turn, turn, turn song. They got it out of the scriptures. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. There's a time to live. And there's a time to die. There's a time for everything. The key is, am I walking in love right now? If you're walking in love and someone's teaching, then what are you doing? Listening. What is the teacher trying to do? Present it to the best of his ability. When it's time to prophesy, you're walking by the Spirit, you prophesy. When you, now remember this, everything, we're all different. That doesn't mean we're all specialists. That's medical. If we as Christians do whatever there is in front of us to do, when you got the ability to do it. I know that there are ministries out, oh, we're a healing ministry, we're a teaching ministry, we're this a ministry, we're that ministry. There's no such thing as, you know, like I'm an ophthalmologist and I'm, you know, something else. And, you know, that's the medical thing. One person studies one aspect and does one thing. We're all general practitioners. Jesus was a general practitioner. He taught, he healed, he prayed, he loved, he touched the broken, the maimed. It's no such thing as being a specialist. The person who rules, he's got to do everything else too. The person who gives, they got to do everything else too. You prophesy, you do everything else too. Whatever's in front of you, according to your ability and the need. This will come up again later on. Don't get fooled into thinking, oh, God, this is all I do. No, you walk like he walked. That's what you do. How do you do that? You put his word on in your mind. You renew it. You choose to think what he has told you to think in Scripture. Then you get up and you serve. Whatever's in front of you to do. Let love be without hypocrisy. That's what dissimulation is here in King James, is the word hypocrisy. You know what hypocrisy means? Yeah. You act one way and you really are another. You talk real nice to the guy when you're in front of him. And then you talk real bad about his behind his back. Jesus hated hypocrisy. You ever notice that when you read the Gospels? And what he called hypocrisy is that you're praying to God, but you're really only concerned about what the people around you hear and think. I want them to know I'm special. I'm spiritual. I'm something important. It's a performance. And you know what the Lord said about that with prayer? They got their reward. God ain't hearing nothing out of that fool's mouth. Now, only God knows whether the person's being a hypocrite or not. Only God. It's not for me to judge necessarily. I mean, I might get an inkling, but the point is, I can't always figure it out. But God knows. We are to live our lives. If you're going to walk like Christ walked, you put the word on your head, you serve, and you love without hypocrisy. The same love that you would have for the person that you like the most. Like and love is two different things, right? I like some people. I can really do without others. But I gotta love them all the same. Isn't that terrible? But that's so true. Why not speak the truth? There are people you would love to hang out with all the time. And there are people you're really happy they go home. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you love that individual with the same love of God that you love all else. Like and love are two different things. It's impossible for me to have communication with other fellow Christians who don't speak my language. Right? I can't converse. I can't get to know them. I don't speak their language. But I can love them and pray for them with the same fervor. You follow? We are to love without no special people. Nobody more than the other. Without hypocrisy. We are to hate that which is evil. Abhor it. You know what? I can't stand this. That which is evil. And we are to cleave to that which is good. Now, can you do that? Remember what I said. I'm challenging you. Pick a thing here. Pick some. Pick your weakness. Pick your good point. First things first. If you don't do exactly what God says in His Word, none of this is going to work. You got to renew your mind. This is how we live a holy life. You got to put what He says on in your head and heart. All these things He says to do. All right? But you have to choose to do it. And it's deliberate. It doesn't come automatic. Oh, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to be really good. You know what? I accepted Jesus as Lord. I believe God raised them from the dead. I wanted to do the Word of God when I first started being a Christian. And I didn't know how to do it. I want to know. But my life didn't change. I was like super excited and blessed, but I was still making the same stupid decisions I had made before. Because I didn't know the Scripture. So read it and then do it and prove the will of God. Isn't that kind of cool? Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love. Can we do this? This is something you choose to do, you practice. You know where it's hardest to practice? Is in your own household. How long you been married?
50.
God bless you.
50.
50. We're friends for 44 years. More than that, 44 years. I know him. We, Mary and I weren't married when...
70. When, 71.
See, it's hard when you're hanging around somebody all the time and people in your family are the ones you mistreat the most. Or you could. The ones you take advantage of the most. The one that you don't respect. It's just, it's the wife. You know. She's always there. You don't appreciate. You know, all my woman wants me to do is appreciate her. For me to think about and appreciate. Not take advantage of, not just, she's always there. I just take that for granted. Just be appreciative. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Now with a spouse, that's even bigger and more beautiful. But when I'm with you, I'm going to treat you like my brothers and sisters. I'm the care, kindly affectionate. I'm not your drill sergeant. I'm not the cop giving out tickets. I'm not the one who condescends. You follow? With brotherly love, in honor. In honor. I don't think a lot of people really get the word honor. Maybe I'll look it up sometime. I think most of you, if you think deeply about it, you already understand the word honor. But I don't think most people think about the word honor too often. It says, in honor, preferring one another. You know, even the believers that I'm not especially like, you know, or I don't necessarily want to hang out with them all the time. I can get in a lot of trouble saying stuff like this. But you all know it's true. When they enter the room, I honor them. I care for them. I go out of my way in my heart to serve, to care. I prefer the people I like the least that are my brothers and sisters over everything else in the world. You know, but it's a privilege to be together. So maybe, you know, maybe one thing, you know, I broke up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't really feel like, you know, you walk in the room and instead of blessing somebody, you're just like a dark cloud. Oh, yeah. Great to see you. You know what I mean? Hey, Charlie, glad you showed up, man. No. See, that ain't doing it, right? It's okay. Maybe you don't feel, maybe you think your day ain't gone by, but I ain't deliberately, Charlie ain't got nothing to do with that. I am deliberately going to honor him, be kindly affectionate to him, and treat him special because he is special. He's a child of the living God. Regardless of how my day is going on. See, when the husband and the wife, you come home from work, they don't practice that much. I had a tough day at the job. Leave me alone. No. Like I said, you get the greatest. You know, it talks about in Timothy, spiritual leadership. I know I'm going a little bit all over the place, but the training ground is the family. Husband, one wife, children in subjection, hospitality. That's how, if you can do those things, you can run a church. But you really got to do those things. Well, that's the training ground. The training ground walking as a Christian family is your own home. You want to walk by the Spirit? That's where the big struggle is. You know, you and Mom, Tony and Kathy, Mary and me, the kids. That's where the training ground is. That's where the practice sessions happen all the time. Now, you can practice and get really good at it, and everybody thinks you got the greatest home and the greatest household and the greatest family in the world. But you know what? You had to deliberately do it. And that's what the renewed mind is. And no matter what it looked like today, before you came here to this fellowship, it can look a whole lot better tomorrow because you deliberately are going to put the word on and prove the will of God in your life. So, when we walk in love without hypocrisy, verse 11, we're not slothful in business. You know what? We're not lazy. We're not good for nothings. We're not wasting our time. But we are fervent in the Spirit. That's something, isn't it? Ever sit around and just, like, watch TV for 8 hours? What'd you get accomplished? What'd you do? You know, you're letting somebody else think for you. You're letting somebody else decide what you're going to think and hear instead of you. That's why they call it, my father called it the boob tube. Now, person who's walking in love, you got a purpose in life. You got a real purpose in your life. You are there to walk holy, to serve the Lord, to be a living sacrifice. So I'm going to deliberately put God's word on in my mind. I'm going to deliberately go out and serve, and I'm going to get busy serving in whatever capacity there is. And I'm going to be fervent in the Spirit about it. And you know what that person does too? They rejoice in the hope of the Lord's return. You know, today is nearer. Our salvation is nearer today than it was when we first believed. He's coming, and it's closer today than it was when we first believed. We're looking for that. That saves my soul. That gives me, hey, in light of the time is short, I'm going to do the will of the Lord. Motivates you, keeps you locked in, keeps you grounded. You rejoice in that hope. You're patient in tribulation, mental pressure. Patient. Doesn't say you overcome mental pressure. It says you be patient. You endure it. You know what mental pressure is? Tribulation is mental pressure. You know what mental pressure is? I got to put up with this person today. They're not in such a good mood. Or they're bugging me. You're patient. This will pass. The guys at work giving you a hard time, this will pass. You just keep doing the will of the Lord in your life. The people around you, you know, maybe you're a kid and people are bullying you at school, it'll pass. There are things to do, but the point is, it's really not that important. You know, you lose your job, that's mental pressure. You'll get another. The Lord provides. He always will. See, these are things that people may not be good at. you have to choose. I am going to ask God to help me endure this mental pressure. Right? This is what you're doing. And then I am going to endure it. It'll be okay. God's my father. I'm his child. You know what? The day's looking good. Continuing instant in prayer. You distribute to the necessities of the saints. You help the others around you with, but you got to have something. In other words, you can't give what you ain't got, right? That's why it says in Ephesians, you work to have to give. Okay? You distribute to the necessities of saints. And that's not just physical things and money. That is encouragement. That is whatever it is your brother and sister need. Maybe they just need somebody to sit with them and mourn because they've lost somebody. Maybe they just need to be listened to instead of preached at. And given to hospitality. That's a huge one. Given to hospitality. You know, anybody can walk in the door upstairs on Sunday morning. I don't run around. Who is it? I've thought it occasionally when I hear the door open and close and nobody comes down. I say, who the heck is up there? But, and then everyone who comes to this home, Mary and I, for all these years, you're all treated the same. You're welcomed. You come, you go. I mean, you treat people like they're special. You love them. You give what you can. You don't give till you're broke. That's hospitality. That was a requirement of leadership in Timothy. Remember? Given to hospitality. It's the love of God. That's how the first century church moved. They broke bread one from house to house. These big buildings, I mean, aren't really necessarily the way to go. Nothing wrong with them, but you can't get intimate with your brothers and sisters if you're in a group of 1,000. Or even 100. Bless them which persecute you. Now, this is one for me, okay? I mean, if I got a button that I need to improve on, is bless the person who's persecuting me. Okay? If I got an improvement place for this, this is where, for me, this is one of the ones. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that do weep. Empathize with your brothers and sisters. You know, somebody says, you know, I got a problem. Let them talk for crying out loud. And then ask for wisdom before you open your mouth and try to answer a situation. First ask if they really want to know what you think. Or if they just wanted to unload and they just had to have somebody to speak it to so that they could figure it out on their own. But empathize with your brothers and sisters. They're having a bad day. They lost it. Hey. You know, first listen and then talk. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things. Don't, if the hot shot walks, you know, if the president of the United States walks in the room, no matter who he is, we stand out of respect for the office, right? And the men. That's just right. If an elderly lady walks in the room, everybody's supposed to stand and acknowledge her presence. That's customary. It's just, it shows, it honors, it respects, okay? But we never want to be, because it's not love without hypocrisy. If you just butter up the guy who's important, you following me? So, you know, to honor a minister, to honor an older woman, to honor whatever, you know, you show respect, but it's never at the point where, oh, well, I got to leave you guys now because I got to go to an important meeting. You know, where so-and-so will be there. And I know so-and-so, and I got so-and-so. You know what I mean? Where you're like the name dropper, and that it's so much more important than you guys. Now, so read that way when you think about it. But we are to be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. That's a bad translation. Don't be condescending. You, everybody, eye to eye. Think of it that way. When you're talking, there's nobody way up there, you got to treat super special that way. And they're important, and you're not. And there's nobody, I'm not to be condescending like I'm important and you're not. Everybody is on the same level here. You know what? I would talk to the President of the United States. I would be respectful, but I would talk to him the same way I'm talking to you. I'd talk to the governor the same way I'm talking to you. Maybe I wouldn't talk as familiar, because I'm familiar with you all. But the same thoughts would be the same thoughts. Do you see what I mean? I might be more formal, but being more formal is not condescending to be. You know, it's eye to eye, person to person. Nobody higher, nobody lower. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. This was one that I challenged. I definitely changed in my life over the years. No payback. That's what recompense means. No payback, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I take great comfort in that. And he will. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What place, as you read this chapter, can you identify, I really need to think what the word says here and practice it? Deliberately pick just from this chapter here. I mean, it's certainly you know, I have improved in so many of these things over the years. Do I have a little bit more to go? Do I still get challenged by some of these? Be deliberate. Next time it comes up, I'm going to be affectionately kind to this person. I'm going to love like Christ loved. How would he touch their lives? How would he care for them? What would he do? When you walk by the Spirit, here's just the challenge, right? This is the area. What do I need to put on in my mind concerning this that goes on in my life? What word do I need? Let's say I'm a thief. So what word do I need to put on? Thou shalt not steal. That'd be a good one. Okay? Let's say you walk around, you're always angry. You're always, hey, be angry. You know, it. Be kind. Be loving, kind, tender-hearted. It's the opposite of anger, tender-hearted. Choose. And then you will prove God's word doing it. And you will see a remarkable, miraculous. It was miraculous for me when I started doing it. It was miraculous. I'd walk out of a city. Wow, this works. I did that with prayer. I did that with abundance sharing. I did that with everything that I learned in Scripture. I practiced it, and I watched God do what he said he'd do. He answered my prayers. He blessed my life. My whole demeanor changed. This is how you do the will of God. This is how we live a holy life. This is not brain surgery. I mean, you could read this chapter and just, this would change most people's lives 180 degrees, just this one chapter. They wouldn't know themselves in a week if they deliberately put on God's word and did it. Got off their butt and served. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.